I am really glad you're here with me today because what we're going to learn is an essential foundation upon which I will build my Bible teaching for at least the rest of this week and next. So you're getting in at the foundation level, and you'll be grateful you did, and you will see what I mean as we move forward. But first, a little review. Who is God? God is our confidence. This is what we're talking about with one another here on God Is. And I spent the first 2 days of this week, Monday and Tuesday, giving you two introductory comments. And I realize I packed a lot in, so let me review what I said as we get started on a Wednesday. First, I defined what I meant by the word confidence this way. Confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ. Confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ. That's how I see true, authentic, and genuine confidence. Second, by confidence, I do not mean self-confidence, which is really only pride. I see self-confidence, which is relying on oneself as the source of confidence, to really be pride. And this push for all of us to be self-confident is all over the place today. We are told to have positive thinking. Self-help gurus and experts of various kinds really push being a self-confident person. They say, learn to believe in yourself. Improve your confidence. Love yourself. Love yourself more. Look, all you have to do is Google confidence and you will be overcome at your computer with things you have to do in your own strength and by your own power to build up your own confidence and find success. But this is not the way to be confident, says God. The Bible teaches us a better, actually the best way to gain confidence, and that is from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible clearly states that we are not to have confidence in our flesh. In other words, in ourselves. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, this time at Philippi. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. It's easy to remember. Philippians 3:3. Put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. But those wise words of Paul written to the Christians at Philippi are ignored at present. Instead of reading the Bible about how Christ supplies our confidence, people are feeding their minds junk at the checkout counter, or in the self-help section at the local bookstore, or in their downloads found on their Kindles and Nooks. Not Nooks as in nooks and crannies, but Nooks as in e-readers from Barnes & Noble. This is the kind of self-help or positive thinking methods that people are learning about today. But these are not our sources for finding out about the confidence that God wants us to have. Our source, again, is the Bible. And when you read Jesus in said Bible, what any objective reader understands is that one of the most important objectives of following Christ is the denial of the self. It's the denial of the self. So confidence can never be about promoting the self, improving the self, and making more of the self. Self-confidence directly contradicts Jesus' emphasis on denying yourself daily. Let me highlight this in the Gospel of Matthew so that you clearly understand what I am saying. I'm reading now the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's in Matthew 16, verse 24. And did you hear it? He must deny himself. Self-denial is the objective, not self-improvement and not self-confidence. And so by confidence, I do not mean self-confidence, which is really nothing more than pride. I see self-confidence, which is relying on oneself as the source of confidence, to really be pride and to be the opposite of that which Christ calls us to. Jesus does want us to be confident, but he always points us to the true source of our confidence, who is God. God is our confidence. Our confidence is not self-confidence. I pray that you understand what I mean, and more importantly, I pray that you understand what Jesus means. All right, these were my introductory comments as we get cooking in this series, and now I want to take us into the Gospels of Matthew and John initially to see how Jesus makes us confident. Jesus is our teacher. He's our master teacher. And so I invite you now to be attentive to his voice. And to begin with, I want to tell you about two of Jesus' dearest, closest, and most intimate disciples. Their names are Peter and John. Peter and John. And the most logical Bible passage for me to read in order to introduce them to you or reintroduce them to you, if you are already familiar with them, is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. If you are taking notes, jot down that text. I will be reading this to you tomorrow. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we meet both Peter and John. But that is not the first time Peter and John met Jesus. Did you know that? There was an earlier occasion in which Peter and John met Jesus, and that is told to us in John chapter 1. Now, if you know the Bible well, then be patient with me as I explain this to listeners who may not know this. Often, it is assumed that because Matthew precedes John in the order of the books of the Bible, that everything that happens in Matthew happened in real time before it takes place in John. Matthew comes before John, so what we read in Matthew happened before what happens in John, right? Wrong. Sometimes that is true, but not all the time. And what I am about to read to you is one of those times when, on a timeline of events, what happened in the book of John happened before what we read about in the book of Matthew. I hope that helped. You'll need to know that as we proceed. But should you be like, what? Then just stick with me. I want to tell you first about this man named Peter, and to do that, I need to spend time today and tomorrow working in John's Gospel and in Matthew's Gospel. You will follow me more closely if you have your Bible open and turn back and forth with me between John and Matthew. And so I advise you to have your Bible with you and to read it with me. Now, if you cannot do that because you're otherwise occupied, then you can always download this later as a free podcast and listen again as you follow along right in your own text. I am now prepared to read in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, and I will be making some comments along the way. This is now the Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as Jesus walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Let's pause there. Who is this man named John? This is John the Baptist. This is not the John who wrote the book of John. The author John is the disciple John, who we will also meet in this reading. But here at the start, this John who looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," is a man by the name of John the Baptist. Okay? Notice also that John the Baptist has two unnamed disciples standing there with him. Yes, John the Baptist also had disciples, students. I'm going to identify these two disciples as I keep reading. And let me do that again, picking up at John chapter 1 and verse 37. The two disciples heard John the Baptist speak, and they followed Jesus. Let's pause again. This is key. There is a transfer of discipleship here. The two disciples of John the Baptist now leave John the Baptist and go off to follow Jesus. And John the Baptist happily sends them on their way because John the Baptist believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. John the Baptist sees himself as nothing and no one compared to Jesus. And so John wants his disciples to, of course, follow Jesus instead of himself. Speaking of confidence, John the Baptist has a lot of confidence in Jesus. And as we return to the text, we find that Jesus begins talking to John the Baptist too, as yet unnamed disciples who are following him. This is John chapter 1 and verse 38. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with Jesus that day, for it was about the 10th hour. All right, let me just insert a comment here. The two unnamed disciples of John the Baptist are now going with Jesus to see where he stayed and to spend the day with Jesus. Now, hold on to your seat because we're finally about to find out the names of these disciples of John the Baptist who have transferred their followership to Jesus. I continue the reading in John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Aha! We have a name, folks. Andrew. Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist, but now Andrew is a disciple of Jesus. So, I really hope you get this. Andrew is the name of one of John the Baptist's disciples who's now spending the day with Jesus. And guess who the other one is? It's John. But be careful, not John the Baptist. Rather, it is John the disciple. And the reason John's name is not explicitly written in the text is because John is the author of this gospel, and he doesn't mention his own name out of humility. But when you read the apostle, the disciple John's writing in the whole and in context, trust me, you will learn that John was the other disciple of John the Baptist who now walks off with Jesus. And this will have bearing on what I share coming up in this series. Remember, I want to talk with you about Peter and John. Well, here is John, even though he is unnamed. So the same man who eventually writes the book of John is this John, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, but now transfers his discipleship over to Jesus, and of course is a long-term, intimate, and close disciple of the Lord. But Mark, where's Peter? Oh, he's here too, but for that, you'll have to come back tomorrow.